Morning Church. I'm Reverend Clifford Young, and I will bring in a message for this morning. And before we begin, let us take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord God, this morning as we, Lord God, are listening to a message that you've given to me to give your people. May the people receive it. May you use me to deliver it. Lord God, hide me behind the cross. Let me disappear and let your Holy Spirit come through me and speak to your people, Lord God. For they need a word from you. We all do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to speak this morning from the subject, we are forgiven, we must forgive. We are forgiven, we must forgive. I am a Christian, and I accept the fact that I make mistakes. I commit sin. And I accept the fact that this is what makes us human. It's part of our human makeup. For Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This includes us in the fact that God says all of us have sinned. Yes, all of us have sinned. We've all made mistakes. And the thing about making mistakes is I don't like making them. I do not like making mistakes. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And the thing about mistakes is those are things that I shouldn't do. I should make mistakes. I know I shouldn't. Especially a lot of the ones. And the thing about mistakes is there are consequences to making mistakes. I often tell my children that we all make mistakes. It's a part of life. But don't let the mistakes hinder you from going on. And also I know the problem with mistakes is that mistakes are caused by sin. That sin part of us that was displayed in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve first decided to disobey God and went against the rule he had set up, and they made a mistake. They committed the first sin, and ever since then, it's been an unfortunate part of all of our character that we have a tendency to make mistakes. From the very beginning, we come out as babies, and we're told not to do this and not to do that, and we go and do it. And after a while, we learn that when we become of an age and we learn that, like you said, the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve made mistakes, and we found out that God hated that mistake they made. God hated that sin they made because they disobeyed him. And the result, they were judged, and now we understand, at least I do, that God judges everyone who commits sin. None of us are going to escape being judged for sin. And not only is it the problem with being judged for sin, there's a punishment for sin, for unrepentant sinners. And God says, an unrepentant sinner will end up damned. They'll end up going to hell, and instead of going to this predetermined, predestined life for us of eternal life with him. You know, it's one of the things that we don't seem to get, and it's even the point where the church seems to have given up on the idea of preaching sin being wrong. We have watered it down to be where the world is no longer afraid to make mistakes, to sin, to openly and willfully sin, and not to see that it's a scary thing to do that. For there's a scripture that says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And yet, the world no longer fears that God. And you might ask, why is that? Because we no longer tell people that sin is bad. We no longer distinguish between right and wrong. We now no longer actually tell people that sin is bad. That rebellion against sin, rebellion against God is sin, and it's wrong. And that there's going to be a consequence. And in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." You see, it says wages of sin is death. There is a payback for sin. We now have to realize that sin cost. And we do no longer, as a people, as a church, tell people about sin. We preach about money. We preach about getting along with people. We do these nice social, easy, eat together type of things. But we yet don't stand up and say, sin is wrong. We're afraid to talk to people about the things that God considers sinful, because we figure we will no longer be in good standing with the world. We won't get people coming to church, and when they come to church, they'll feel good, and they'll stand, they'll pay tithes, and they'll give money, and they will make our congregation big so we can brag about how many people we got in. But as far as I know, when you preach about sin, if a person isn't right, they're going to feel discomfortable, and they're going to want to get up and leave. Because it's when you talk about sin, it pricks that heart of that unrepentant sinner. They can't stand it, and so they got to get up and leave. So we got to get back to preaching sin is wrong, and it will cause death to the individual that sins. You know, it's not the problem of sin, it's what you do about it. And God has said he's already taken care of sin. And as we read our morning scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 6, it says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not Ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. After this manner pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, part of Jesus' prayer was about sin and forgiveness of debt, because debt is sin. And he also says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And here are the two key verses that I want to focus in on. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's why I get the subject that we are forgiven and we must forgive. You know, forgiveness is essential to our belief as Christians. And in Acts 26:18, we find this passage of scripture. God is telling, Jesus is telling Paul, he's got a mission to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, inheritance, and inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in Jesus. Now, this is the commission that Jesus gave to Paul on the road to Damascus, to go to the Gentiles. For he had to open their eyes. For you see, the Gentiles didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the relationship that the Jewish believers had. So Paul was going to them with a new message. And if you look at it, it said there is forgiveness for sin. But it says there's some prerequisites, some things had to happen before this forgiveness took place. Number one was Paul had to open their eyes to sin. In the world today, it seems we've forgotten how to talk about sin. It seems that we are blinded to sin. And so if we, the church, are blinded to sin, how can the world see sin if we ourselves no longer recognize sin? Our job is to be the truth bearers about sin. Our job is to tell people that yes, there is sin. Yes, sin is rebelling against God. Yes, sin is wrong. You see, we can no longer hide from sin, for we see the results of sin. We see it every day. People are just killing people wantonly. Sin manifests itself in all these movies about the living dead. In other words, that we don't really die. Our bodies come back to life because there's no real spirit, and so don't have to worry about that because there ain't no spirit inside a man. So therefore, we can be reanimated, because ain't nobody leaving here going to hell or heaven anyway. That allows us to pretend sin does not exist. We can see some of the wrongest things doing and say, it's okay. And as a result of that, we can pretend that sin doesn't have the consequences that the Bible speaks of. That we're going to perish if we're not saved. We're going to hell. We're going to a place of dire, dire consequences. Another prerequisite for forgiveness from sin is returning from darkness to light. I think most of us would agree that it seems this world is a very dark place. I mean, seems like this, I don't know, it just gives you the chills when you think about how dark this world is. It says, men love darkness rather than light. That's the reason there's this darkness around. There's this feeling of uneasiness, because the world, because of sin, loves darkness. And our job is to turn from that darkness to light. And lastly, we've got to do this job of turning people from the power of Satan to the power of God. You see, we've got to make people understand Satan's real. Demonic forces do exist in this world. And those demonic forces are out to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why a lot of people can't understand why things happen the way they do, because Satan's doing his job. He's real. He's as real as real can. He's out there destroying people's lives, killing and everything. And people would think, what happened? How did it happen? Because Satan did what he was supposed to do. He's marked you. Make sure you get saved. He's marked you to destroy you. But in the same instance, just as Satan is real, God is just as real. He created us. He sustains us. He loves us. And that's what we got to get out and tell the world. That God isn't a fiction, a fragile. God is real. And God has the power to fight our battles. And as a result of fulfilling the prerequisites for forgiveness, of opening our eyes, turning from darkness, turning from the power of Satan to the power of God, we have fulfilled the prerequisites for forgiveness, and as a result, we get the forgiveness of sin by God. And see, we got to make people understand that that's significant. The forgiveness of sin. You know, once you get saved, and the light comes on, you understand how significant that is to have your sins forgiven by God, because you know otherwise you're on the way to hell. You know when you look at the slate of your life and see, even if you was a morally good person, that sin is terrible. But Lord have mercy. When we get on the other side and see the forgiveness of God of sin by God, and we shout hallelujah, that's when we get to shouting hallelujah. And our job is to go out there and tell others about that forgiveness of God, and make us understand how good it is to have that forgiveness from God of our sins. And secondly, after we realize we get the forgiveness for sin, we get to find out that we've got an inheritance that God predestined for us in heaven. God has reserved a spot for us among the saints to be in eternity with him. And it makes us anxious to leave this world. Because when we look at how this world really is, it says, I no longer want to be in this world. I can leave this world now. I can go home and be with my Father. It makes us have a different perspective. And then we realize that we're just sojourners on this life, in this flesh. And that we're going home, and we got an inheritance, and we know where our inheritance is at, and we know what inheritance we have. But we still have to get to the one fact of what the Bible's telling us about in this passage of scripture, forgiveness. Jesus, and what they call the model prayer, when he said, teach us how to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, and he told us, forgive us this day our daily sin, just as our debtors, just as we forgive others, and he incorporated forgiveness. Forgiveness for us by God, and then he said, you know, we this forgiveness works two ways. We get forgiven from God, and then we go and forgive others who have been or indebted us. And to make sure we understood, he said about forgiveness at the latter two verses, 14 and 15, he says, if you forgive others of their trespasses, your Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive people of their trespasses, neither will your Father, Heavenly Father, forgive you. That's why forgiveness is an essential part of salvation. You see, to be forgiven, we have to repent. We have to admit that we did wrong. And that's a very difficult thing for us, some of us, because I don't know about y'all, but a lot of us don't like to admit we get wrong. You know, it's a natural reflex. You know, you ever talk to little kids when they're small and they don't know better? When you call them, catch them doing that, and you ask them, did they do it? No, not me. I didn't do that. Because they're afraid of the consequences. So, no, I didn't do that. It's a part of who we are. And but God said, if you want his forgiveness, it's unconditional. We have to be able to forgive unconditionally. We can't hold on to grudges against people. We got to forgive them. You know, one of the saddest things, especially in the church, is when people don't know how to forgive others. And yet we think that we are forgiven by God, but God says, hold on. If you can't forgive your brother or sister, then don't look for my forgiveness. And that's when he says, forgive us this day our daily bread. I mean, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He said, remember, forgiveness and indebtedness comes from God. And as a result, we are going to forgive others. It's not a matter of if I want to. He said, no, we forgive others. You know, as I close, like I say, like I my message title, we are forgiven. That's a given. God's forgiven us. But only if we forgive others. You know, listen to this. We are forgiven because we have forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the caveat. God wants us to know that forgiveness is unconditional, is plenteous. He gives liberally. And if we're going to be his children and reflect him, we've got to do the same thing. Sometimes I think that's the problem. We forget that we are God's children. I'm just going to end it right here. As you reflect upon that, and if there's anybody you haven't forgiven, that you would take the time during this message or at the conclusion of this message or sometime in the near future to ask God to help you forgive that person that you haven't quite forgiven, no matter how bad the hurt was. Because you're not forgiving them for their sake, you're forgiving them for your sake and for your relationship with God to be all that it could and should be. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that this message on forgiveness will resonate within each and every one of us. Lord God, that we have a better understanding of the importance of forgiveness in our walk. Lord God, even our jobs, among the people we meet on our roads, Lord God, the people that do things that they not even were ever wrong. Lord God, let us have that forgiving spirit. And Lord God, when we can, let us reach out to them and speak to them, Lord God, sin and forgiveness. For many may not know. Lord God, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.